This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
And here we are again for some fun entertainment. We got to keep it lively so CJ doesn't fall asleep on us.
Damn straight.
And I'm right there behind you. So Jimmy's got to keep us going. Oh.
Do it again.
You know, excuse me. I've been screwing up because this is so new to me. Slim Jim is going to. We're going to get that right out
podcast
there.
Jim,
Jimmy G. Yeah, that's your new. That's the podcast name, Slim Jim.
The ironic.
The nickname. Ironic names, yeah. I got a.
Because back when I was younger, Slim Jim would a little bit more apropos.
You were what? About 100?
I guess it just stuck.
Soaking yeah. Wet.
Yeah. Basically, I looked like a Slim Jim, dark, thin.
Yeah, but it doesn't really count. Thin, does it?
Oily.
Oh, there. That's what it is. It's one of those badass ironic nicknames, I thought, like Shorty for a tall guy or Slim Jim for a dude who weighs as much as a bulldozer. You're like a mini bulldozer.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you're not
fair.
You're not like the
a true tank, that's for
you're
sure.
You're not you're not all yeah, because you're not 6'9", you're 5-something.
Six.
Six.
It's all right.
I was gonna say we're not gonna say exactly, but you said it.
5'6".
I'm not too proud. I look damn good for 5'6".
Is that with heels?
Actually, no.
It's platforms, asshole.
Those are flats.
Flats?
Those are flats.
Those are with flats?
Okay. Heels, depends on the heel. It's a little bit higher.
Yeah, but at least your muscles look good.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know, me and Jimmy's biceps are basically the same size. He looks like he has arms. I
look
sticks.
Like Popeye.
Yeah. You look like Popeye and I look like the tree man. You know? So it's.
Yeah. Well, and there's a guy at the gym. He's your height too. And his calves. They just look like chicken. Like, he gets thinner as you go down to his ankles.
Yes. So from his shoulders, from his knees all
shoulder
the way
all the way. It's not to his waist, and then he goes straight. It's a V all the way down to his ankles. I love him to death. He's a super cool dude.
So he's a Johnny Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah.
The perfect V tape.
More of a Hispanic Johnny Bravo. That's the awesome part. And he was, I think he was in the Air Force. So.
Well, there you go.
There's something. Anyway, he's but he always, like, I'll see him doing, like, he'll do calf, like, he'll say, God, okay, I'll take your, because he has cool, like, he's got a great back, and it's like, I'll take that. He's like, okay, cool, I get your calves, I'll take your shoulders, and I'll take your arms. It's like, okay, fair deal. So we always give each other shit. And, you know, the other day I saw him, he's doing calves. It's like, oh, that's cute. <And he's> like, while he was doing them, he just flips me the bird as I'm walking by.
And you know, the sad part is their muscle mass wise. If you were just to measure the muscle itself, he probably has twice as much as you.
Yeah.
But because it's stretched out an extra 6 inches.
Yep. Yeah, it's on a rack, so it's thinner.
It's all stringy.
Just more excuses. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I was trying to be nice there, CJ, but yeah.
So see, Slim Jim fits now. Yeah.
Yeah.
You like the small little, like a D1 cat, D2. No, probably closer to a D2. You're not all the way at the mini. You're more of a D2, D2, D3. Yeah,
no Nick Walker, that's for sure. But
he's only an inch taller than you, Jimmy.
Yeah, but he weighs 100 pounds more.
Easy, if not more. Jeez Louise.
There was a picture I saw with him. His, like, bicep went all the way to his wrist. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. They even, like, on their podcast, they're like, what is wrong with your biceps? Like, that shouldn't be something, like, it's not a thing.
It should not be that big. Yeah.
I don't know. The squatty potty picture probably shows him off the best.
Well, and then the not only the toilet and the squatty potty looks so damn small. It's like he's on a little like training potty, you know, like for a little 2 year toddlers or kind of thing. It's like that can't be a real toilet.
Well, that
dude, you know, is so massive.
If he was 300 pounds and fat, we'd be like just dinging him hardcore. No.
Oh yeah,
it just flexing all the muscles and everything. You're like,
damn, that's
yep.
And I could imagine
295 pounds and you still got visible abs. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and could you imagine? I mean, just walking through doors, sitting in a car, sitting in a plane. Like, do you think he drives a Mini Cooper?
He's actually got a Corvette.
That has a little room in it.
Well, no.
It's been my experience that there's
always... 5'7". It comes down to the legs. Roll the window down, you're good. I don't fit the width. Corvettes well.
The width is the thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what Nate was saying. If he rolls down the windows, then he's got enough room for his shoulders.
You just put your arms and, you know, you stretch out a little bit.
On either side.
Nobody can sit in the passenger seat. That's where his arm goes.
Yep. That other, you just kind of lean over, you know. I'm surprised a lot of bodybuilders don't have those center seat cars. I can't think of the, you know, they have some production models where you can sit in the center like a race car. I'm surprised they all don't have those. You know, it's like, oh,
just because it'd be easier.
Yeah. Plenty of shoulder room, sports car. There you go.
Invariably, though, it's like anyone I see who has like, it's like the smaller the car, the bigger the person is inside it. Like there was a guy I used to work with. He was at least 6'2", maybe even taller, but he had a little smart car for a while. Then he had a Mini Cooper. Then he had a little Fiat thing. Like, I mean, I haven't been to Costco in ever, but when I went there, you'd see a smart car. Like, who the fuck brings a smart car to Costco? But invariably it's some huge person width and height that it's like, you what I get it, it's a cheap car, but it's a golf cart. Like, and I know you're supposed to get it's good gas mileage, but with
it's
your
not
weight,
a golf cart, it's a go car, it's not a car, and it's not a go cart, it's a go car.
But point is, I mean, doesn't fuel economy go to shit because max load is now like you just, yeah. Anyway,
I mean, how many groceries are you gonna get from Costco?
Yeah, and throw
you got it in one a smart thing. Car. You got one thing.
You got one.
Your thing of toilet paper or your,
jeez, I don't think toilet paper can fit in there.
Maybe it's in not
the passenger seat.
Shit. Well, that's it. There's there one go. Trip. Takes 7 trips to Costco.
Here's some nostalgia though. Talking about little cars and stuff, I saw what I want to say 80s Fiero. It was even the white with the two pinstripe and everything.
Yeah.
And I did. I stopped in the middle of the road and stared at it. It was like,
oh yeah, those were pretty.
Buddy of mine in school had one of those. I remember running down Lakeshore Drive at 80 mile an hour in the thing. Oh, and speaking of, the only way I could fit in it was to roll the window down and hang my arm out.
Well, and those like this, like the center where the transmission, because that was
the engine was in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. Rear, but it was like it's set up high. Like the center, console all of that set up high.
My right then, side, because I was usually passenger, it was with this window had to be down. We might even turn the AC on if it was hot, but I could only fit in the car if the window was down and I could hang my arm out of it.
Yeah, up until not that long ago, there's a couple guys that had modded them up and still drove them like that was still a daily driver kind of thing.
That I wish I could find one for a decent price. I'd buy my kid that car. He might not get to drive it, but I would I would buy them that because those were just fun.
You guys seen the Ford Festiva?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I grew up in.
Yeah, it's shit cars to grow up in. Even worse than me.
The car got through a lot, though. Honestly, I think my uncle had that until like 2006.
Jesus. It's running on a hope and a prayer.
Well, you know, no.
And then it got hit by a deer, and that's why they had to put her down. No. Okay. It got hit by the deer. It didn't hit a deer. It got hit by a deer.
Well, when you got a couple of squirrels in a cage, what's to break? You know,
that's true.
You buy new shoes to stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it the Chevy Metro that was like had a 3-cylinder?
Yep.
It's like a wind up car.
Pretty much.
But hey, whatever. And it's what it is. Anyway.
Well, tell us about, we're doing our bacon bourbon update. Looks like you got a bottle of it.
Yeah, I managed to. They had some in stock, and I happened to go into the store a couple days earlier and realized I didn't have my wallet, and they carted a dude that looked older than me ahead of me. So it's like, oh, I'm not going to be able to fake this one. Because he literally looked way older than me, and I'm like,
he was having a hard time walking, and then they still carted him.
Yeah, basically. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to get through this checkpoint, so I had to go back. But I got it, and it is bourbon. And when you smell it, there's a smokiness, like the bacon smokiness.
Yeah.
But I was expecting
bacon,
you know, bacon, and so. When I tasted it, you get that there is a smokiness on the very front end. And after that, it's just bourbon. If there's bacon in it,
you didn't find it.
I don't know where it's at. I haven't hit that layer of the bourbon yet.
Yeah. Did you shake it?
I did shake it up. And I even tried it with, I did cut it with water, although I think I may have cut it too much.
Let's see.
Like put too much water, because sometimes if you put water in it in like a scotch, like a single malt, yeah, right where it's 40%+ alcohol, if you put one part scotch to two parts water, that blooms some of the flavors, so it kind of cuts the alcohol fire part of the scotch, and you can actually taste more of the legitimate flavors of the thing. And I tried doing that to see if that would bring out, and there was sort of a sweetness kind of thing there, but I think I put too much water in it for the amount of bourbon that was in there. So I can give that a try, and we can talk about that at the next.
So Samaria, wasn't it an old fashioned that you were talking about, they smoke infused or something?
Yes.
I wonder if you could get something similar to that if it has a smoky start.
Yeah. And so that's what I was thinking, use it for whether it's an old fashioned, maybe even a whiskey sour in some ways, or a Manhattan that tends to be a little spicy and smoky. So
yeah,
I'll give that a try in mixed drinks, but just the straight bourbon, I was expecting
bacon.
Yeah. Like you just gnawing on a piece of bacon. Yeah. But no, it's not, there isn't even a hint. Like like that saltiness from there isn't even any of that. So, you know, when you say bacon infused, I'm thinking bacon infused, and it was just bourbon.
You're going to have to write him a letter.
Yeah. But it is a blended thing. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it again. We'll see. Maybe it'll grow on me. You know, maybe it needs to age or something. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll eat bacon with it. Be a test. I don't know. So, you know, it's not what I hoped, but, you know, is it terrible? It's not, certainly not the worst. It's not like bottom vodka shelf. Yeah. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's not Cuervo Gold or High V Vodka.
Don't say that word. I just remember we used to, you know, whenever we were in Ames all the time, one of my buddies bought us bottom shelf tequila shots. That was, so usually if you're going to throw up from a shot, you take the shot and then you feel the stomach come on and you're like, all right, I got to go. This was like instant hit my lips and I was just threw up. That was the first time that ever happened.
And that was like, it didn't even make it down to come back up. It just came out.
I was lucky enough to be on the deck and just turned to the side.
Yeah, that is brutal. But back in the day in college, me and my roommates, that was our drink of choice. Like, we'd go through, which is probably why now I can't even barely whiff the bottle. But we used to go through it like it was water, and we never salt and lime. We never did any of that shit. We just shot it straight and called it good.
I think, especially somewhere along the line, if you're a heavy drinker when you're younger ish and you drink something like that to an excess, you can't have it when you're older. Yeah, mine's Captain Morgan. I drank Captain Morgan like they weren't going to make water. It anymore. And yeah, if I could have figured out a way to put it in my canteen for work, because I was in the military at the time, I would have. But you know, it's like now.
Yeah.
I fuck know no. I even,
you can't even walk past the bottle.
Yeah. Nah, I don't even want to whiff it. I haven't had rum in
ever.
Oh man, probably 2008's the last time. Probably 2008 is the last time I've had any Captain Morgan or any other kind of rum, unless it happened to be in a mixed drink that by I accident, didn't realize I ordered, and then I probably. Well, I
there's enough noticed. Other stuff in there that you probably wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah. It as much, but I mean, when you used to drink the stuff straight, and if there's any people that do like rum, I'm going to give you this little tidbit. If you drink straight rum all the time and you don't have a problem with it, but then you go out and drink with your buddies and you order rum and Coke so it'll last longer, and then you get sick, it's not the rum that did it.
It's the Coke. It's the sugar and the Coke.
Soda or whatever else you're mixing it with. That took me a little over a year to figure out through trial and error. I'd be out with my buddies getting it, and I'd come home, I'd be sicker than a dog, and it'd be like, I'd finished off the fifth of private stock with no issue, but I can't have a couple rum and Cokes, and I get sick. And in my befuddled brain at the time, it took me a while to realize it's not the rum.
You mentioned Jaeger, CJ?
Yeah, there was a good year that's all we drank was Jaeger and Jaeger bombs. And puking black at least twice, you're just kind of like, no, thank you. And now just the smell of it makes me want to.
Yeah. You can't even eat black jelly beans.
Okay, who really like goes for that first anyways? You see jelly beans, you're like, ooh, give me the black jelly beans.
I am. Like, I like the disgusting. Black jelly beans. But I've never liked Jaeger.
Well, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
I know. Do not like Jaeger at all. I've done enough shots to tell you I really don't care for it, but it's... But no, I do like black jelly beans. Yeah, when it comes to like licorice, jelly bean stuff, all the ones that everyone else thinks is disgusting. My favorites out of them all, and I don't know why. It's just, I think it takes me back to my childhood of getting old candies and stuff from the different amusement places and things.
You like butterscotch hard candies too? Like
That and now it's taken me, like, now I'm thinking of like old, like, is actually my dad's aunt, but we called her aunt, like everybody called her Aunt Rose, but it was my dad's aunt, and every time you went over there you got those iced oatmeal raisin cookies that are all store-bought, but it's like
in the last forever. They don't go bad. You can pull them out of the wrapper, leave them on your car seat for like a month, find one.
And they were almost harder than the plate she served it on, but it was still but it was Aunt Rose, and it was awesome. Like, if you had them anywhere else, you'd never want them. But it just got me thinking that you were thinking of old, because they always had, like, you know, some of those old time candies too, like some of those like licorice and stuff.
Well,
anyway,
I know CJ's God love her. Not old enough, but did you ever have the best I can remember is like a dime store candy, where everything was a dime. I could go in there with a dollar and buy like 10 things, you know.
Yep.
And they added tax in the price, so you didn't have to pay tax on it. But I think 10 cents is the cheapest I remember when I was little. Take a dollar, get 10 pieces of candy. And of course, I'd just go around. Oh, now it's probably $1.50 a piece or something.
Yeah.
But
inflation adjusted. Yeah,
yeah, it's like $20 for 10 pieces of candy. But I remember going in and the Pixie Sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The little ones or the big ones?
Oh, the little ones.
Okay.
Yep. And then you'd always have to talk with somebody into snorting one of those at school. You always could get that one kid to do it.
So it's funny you say that. We were just talking about, was it the sour Skittles? And they'd always have like the whole bunch of sour stuff at the bottom. And I was telling my fiance about, there was always one kid that would do the line of that.
Of course.
Of course.
Because there has always that one. I think it's kid. Like every God. Generation, like every class, every high school class, every. They gotta, you gotta have at least one.
We all know what Bobby's gonna do when he gets older.
Yeah, he's gonna become a CEO of a company. Yeah. That's what it is. It's that one kid that everyone's gonna be like, oh, he's gonna be fried. No, he ends up the CEO.
But he of ends some up company. The most successful.
All that sugar.
The next Elon Musk or Steve Jobs. He's running
off of cocaine and jerking off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. The candy cigarettes that you thought you were so cool as you munched on those.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought
those. I mean, I hated those because they were
horrible, but you could pretend you're smoking.
There's the only reason people got them.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of those candies are horrible. Yeah, but you'd be like, oh, these are cool. And you would eat them, you know?
It is sugar. At the end of the day, it's still sugar.
Might be sugar.
Eating candy corn. We've talked about this before. Candy corn, when I was little, doesn't taste. I say they changed the recipe. They probably haven't, but back then it was good. Now, I've eaten wax that's tasted bad.
I've eaten wax. I've had drywall that tastes better.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Jimmy. Have you never changed out of a toilet and not gotten a little beeswax in your mouth?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Like, that's good times. Good times.
Yeah. Our candy and drunken habits. You know, they all come down to check boxes. We don't do any of that really anymore, but it's a check box that we live through. It's like,
you survived.
I have so many check boxes on my motorcycle that I checked and I'm still alive from.
Like you said, it's not the years, it's the miles.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, we're doing a podcast on St. Patty's Day, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, good point. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day. You're actually wearing green.
Yeah, I am, but that's by accident. It's not necessarily on purpose.
I didn't even know it was St. Patty's Day. I wasn't even. Yeah. I
had no idea until I had the radio on this morning. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, Slim Jim's about the right height. So, you know, it would fit in. Are you shitting any gold?
Shit, I wish. Trust me, I wish. I'm not, but I wish.
You have the pot that you're shitting in, but it's not gold. I do have the pot,
but there's no gold in there. I mean, you're welcome to check, but near as I can tell, that's not gold. But I, yeah, I don't know that I've ever been misconstrued for a leprechaun, but I come close. I'll admit that.
Yeah. An Asian version, an Asian leprechaun.
Yeah. Well, and odds are everyone would think I'm a Hispanic leprechaun and be wrong anyway. So be wrong on both counts. Yeah.
You know, there's a good point. Do the Asians even have like a leprechaun in their history con? Do they got some creature that would be, I've never looked that one up.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's possible. I don't know of anything offhand. But I'd be surprised. I can't
think of anything. Yeah.
Whether they got a lot of Chinese crossover. Or Japanese or even Vietnamese, like any of those. There's probably something. There could even be some Philippine something that I'm not aware of. But yeah, that's a good point. I'll have to look that up.
And then talking about no shit. Sherlock, WTF. How nuclear war would be a climate problem on top of everything else. Is this what you brought up, Slim Jim? I'm going to make that go on. It's going to catch on and you're going to get people going, hey, Slim Jim, how's it going?
Yeah.
It's still better than Tater Tot. That was funny. you don't know where that tater tot comes from. Yeah, you guys are missing out on life. But
yeah, this is something I came across, and it's like you got like it's one of those you gotta be fucking kidding me that somebody published this shit. Although I'm not surprised, right? In this day and age. So it's an article from The Atlantic, and so you know. We try and keep this evergreen, but there are some things that we, you know, want to bring to light. You know, we've talked about women farting in jars and selling them. We've talked about skiers getting their dicks frozen repeatedly. Maybe you should think of other lines of work. And now we bring you Robinson Meyer from The Atlantic, who says, on top of everything else, nuclear war would be a climate problem. Even a minor skirmish would wreck the planet. No shit, Sherlock. When I read that headline, I was like, you really wrote this? This is because climate, I don't know about you two or anyone else in the BR Nation that's listening to this right now, If any nuclear anything happens, the last thing I'm thinking about is the climate or the impacts to the climate, because we got bigger fucking problems.
Thinking of living.
So, you know, where's the line? It's like, you know, he talks about fossil fuel and blah, 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 blah. And of course, you know, you can tell by the title, he's got a slant of where he's thinking. But with current events happening, right, there's talk of, you know, talk of nuclear, the potential for, you know, nuclear. Right.
We're back to the whether 80s. It's
a, yeah, nuclear war, but also even not just that, which I think is a little, might be a little over the top, but nuclear, like even a nuclear reactor getting damaged and then causing like a, not maybe a Chernobyl or a Three Mile Island kind of scenario where there's some radioactive leak, which that's probably more likely than anything else. But he says some things like, I mean this quite literally, if you're worried about rapid catastrophic changes to the planet's climate, then you must be worried about nuclear war. That is because on top of killing tens of millions of people, even a relatively minor exchange of nuclear weapons would wreck the planet's climate in enormous and long-lasting ways. Now, I get what he's saying there.
Don't worry about the tens of millions.
Yeah, he kind of glosses over.
It's everybody else.
Oh, some people die, but it's getting warmer.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, who writes the? I mean, I know who writes this shit.
Okay, real quick, though. What's tens of millions? Is that like a billion plus people?
If there's nuclear war, I mean, there's not or, just no, the people like dying. There's also million.
Well, yeah, like 100 million or so.
The whole thing is like really just from the radiation, it's going to kill more people. Let alone.
Well, in the half-life.
No. Yeah, okay. On the nuclear aspect, because I got a nuclear plant up the road for shits and giggles one night, I pulled up one of those maps and it shows if there's, it would show either nuclear bombs and how big they are, or if are certain you could click on the different nuclear plants if they had a meltdown. I'm just about 5 miles outside the blast radius.
Nice.
And this webpage told me I would be okay if I was in like my crawl space. There might be a little bit that hits like the radiation that hits my house.
How much time do you have to get down there? How much time do you have to get down there? It's like 35 seconds or you're fucked.
Yeah, but my house won't get blasted away. I'm outside the blast radius. So it says you're perfectly fine. If you hear it or whatever, just hunker down and you'll be good. Like, so I'm outside the blast, but I'm like,
just shelter in place. You'll be
fine. Yeah, that's basically what they say. It's like, just shelter in place until aid comes and da, 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 da. And I'm like, well, at least I'm not in the immediate meltdown area.
Yeah, that's, there's radioactive fallout, though.
Yeah, well, it depends on which way the wind's blowing.
True, that's
blow
true.
Don't worry about it. Indiana, and I'm good.
It's a 45 mile per hour wind.
Now, if it's blowing south, I'm screwed, you know?
I just get this image, though. Even if the wind was blowing in your direction, I get this image of you, Nate, standing with your leaf blower.
It ain't fucking happening today.
I would probably go out on the porch and have a cigar and watch.
Or like, you know? You and your neighbors are all standing there with your air blowers pushing it away. That'd be hilarious. Not today, nuclear fallout. Not today.
Well, you know,
like Gandalf, you shall not pass.
Well, there is some point to it where it's saying, though, don't run. Because if there is fallout and stuff and it's going to hell or whatever, but your house hasn't blown away, say you close up everything, kind of keep it pushed out. Well, you could be in your car. Everyone's trying to escape. And we just saw it with everyone leaving the Ukraine to Poland. They just clogged all the arteries that you can drive down. So everybody gets stuck out in their cars. And then you know, say the wind does shift. You know, certain points might be smart to hunker down, wait till all the other idiots kind of screw up and then leave. Or, you know, better yet, if they didn't take off, go find someone with like a four-wheel drive and just take it because they left it alongside of the road, or maybe a tank car or a deuce or something that goes cross country. I'm sure. Or, hey, there's a guy with a, he'd probably be out in his garage drinking beer, but he's got a monster truck down the road. You know, you got to think outside the box at that point. Some of these guys might not want to use or have the capability to use their toys anymore. You know, all those guys that go mudding and stuff. Hey, no one's going to care if you have exhaust or not at that point. So, you know, hey, you got transportation, Mad Max, here we come. You know, it's like, but yeah, just, I always laughed at those maps. It's like, you'll be okay.
Well, and he even talks about this in the article too. He talks, consider a 1 megaton nuke, or, you know, which is standard. He kind of describes that's a standard thing. A detonation of a bomb that size within about a 4 mile radius would produce winds equal to those of a category 5 hurricane, flattening buildings, blah, blah, blah. These conditions, and note, that I have left out the organ-destroying effects of radiation would rapidly turn an 8-mile blast radius into a zone of total human misery. But only at this moment of the war do the climate consequences truly begin. The hot, dry, hurricane-force winds would act like a supercharged version of California's Santa Ana winds. Blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, soot and ash, and then the planet cools or whatever. I mean, it's like, dude, if we really, like, if what's going on in the world today ultimately ends up in nuclear, even a nuclear warhead going off anywhere, let alone nuclear war, we're all fucked. We got bigger problems than the climate. Like, no one's going to be going, well, shit, what is this doing to we know what's going to happen to the climate. It's more, all right, the bomb's already gone off. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. We just need to fucking deal with what we need to fucking deal with. Thanks. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Like, we're supposed to deal with every problem at the same time, not the top priority. Come on now.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
You know, sorry. Back to that, like, nuclear bomb map that I saw. It's interesting. Like, when I was little and a kid, they would be talking about it in the 80s. If we went to nuclear war with Russia, they'd be like, oh, they drop a couple bombs and it would wipe out half the country. But if you actually look at what the blast radius, not taking away the fact that a lot of people are going to die and get screwed up, it's not as big as it's like they described. It's like it would take multiple bombs to wipe out Chicago.
Yeah, you can't just downtown and knock it all out. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like it's not going to be leveled for 40 miles in every direction type thing. It's not. Even the atom bombs took out cities. And they were here and they're like, well, the nuclear bomb will take more. Well, depends on which one. If they start, like you said, the one ton or whatever, they're not as big as we think, you know. You hit the right place, yeah, a lot of people are going to die, but at the same token, it's not like you're wiping out four states.
Yeah, you can't drop one on the four corners and take every state out.
Yeah.
Well, and here, I mean, living in Omaha, I mean, it's, you know, the STRATCOM's here, right? So it's the Strategic Air Command, now STRATCOM, you know, it's... While they do have a bunker that's at least allegedly supposed to be able to withstand that, point is Omaha and surrounding areas are, or at least were, a target. So right. We're all gone. I mean, it's but like you said, if that were truly to happen in the 80s, I remember thinking, you know, like knowing my dad, and I still think this is true. If that was really happening, like, there's a point at which he's just going to sit out on the front porch and watch him fall. Like, it's like, because what are you really going to do? You can't wish them away. You can't pew them away with a 30-06. Like,
it wasn't Twilight Zone. I remember watching something along that lines where it was like crazy stuff. But one of the little, and it was a short. And a nuclear bomb dropped, da-da-da-da-da. This guy was a prepper. He had all the ham radio food, everything. He had his bunker. And it goes through, and most of the video was him trying to survive the nuclear fallout. Everything's dark. He's in his bunker. At one point, people come knocking on the door, seeing if he's okay. And trying to get to him or whatever to help him, and he just drove him away, either scared him or shoot him or whatever. And then in the last like couple minutes of this little short, it shows a kid and his mom in a perfect sunny afternoon, and the kid goes, do you think we'll ever get to see dad again? And at that time, you see like a bubble over, they got like a big dome over the contain. Yeah. It's all contained. there's guys coming and going, trying to find, you know, survivors in it, but they were able to respond and contain it, so it didn't destroy. He thinks the whole world's destroyed, but really it's just this little 5-6 mile area that basically put a bubble over, and it's like they were gone, you know, down visiting family or wherever. They weren't at home at the time, and it's like, you know, there'll be that one guy that someone will come down to save him, get him out, and you'll be like, no, I'm staying in my bunker.
I could totally see that. It's anyway, crazy. They're stupid people all the way around. I just thought, you know, it's like, seriously, dude, like, I get it, right? There is going to be changes to the climate with a nuclear war.
He had to get paid for, he probably gets paid by the word, and he had to type something up. He got paid for that.
Fuck, what the fuck are we doing?
I can make stupid articles too.
Yeah. I can make, anyway, moving on.
What we really need to worry about is the Bears.
Chicago or
I was thinking about the Cubs, but yes, you're right. What else we got?
Oh, all right. Is time natural or a construct? Do we really need time? I was looking this up the other day, and it goes back to daylight savings time and everything else. I see there.
I did post an article.
You did find an article. Is this legit?
A Senate bill was passed, and it was passed with bipartisan, like there's a Republican and a Democrat senator, but it isn't to fall back to standard time. It's to keep daylight savings.
So the time we're on right now.
Exactly. Dark in the morning and light all the time.
Just don't move it at all.
Well, yeah. So the thing is in the mornings it will be dark, but it'll be longer days kind of thing. I don't care either way. I think it's stupid that we even have it. We talked about this. Maybe talked about it on the last podcast.
Yeah, we talked about it on the last one.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a dog in this hunt in terms of do we go with standard time or do we go with daylight saving? Let's just not do the thing anymore.
Just stay with this. Which
way we go. Yeah,
stay just lock this. Into one or the other and call it a day.
I like this because my dogs are on the schedule, so the schedule works, so they're not waking me up an hour earlier.
there you go. Whichever way it is, that I don't care. I don't have a dog on. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, or the other, just leave it alone. But I was thinking
they're trying to pass a bill to keep this like the normal time and never change.
Yeah, there's a bill that was passed in the Senate, or at least proposed in the Senate, to keep this as is, and it would go into effect. I forget when, like 2023,
but it would be, so we'd have to do one more,
but partially to allow, like they try, whether it's stores or, you know, whatever it is, like there's a whole bunch of things to kind of, and, you know, lots of even software programs, not that it would cause the end of the world, but there's even software with daylight savings built in kind of thing. So, you know, what do you do with that? Or so there's some of those
things. As you did in, what was it, 2000, when everybody thought the world was going to end and
then nothing happened.
Yeah.
And it's probably more just a configuration change, but there's other things too that they mentioned in the article to give, I don't know if it was retailers or, you know, some big groups of
people,
companies or folks to kind of get their ducks in a row as far as that goes. But it would have to go to the House and be passed there before it would get to a president to sign. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen, but I'm all for it. Anyway,
I'm all for it. But I'm getting back to it's, I had to go back and it's like, we've had timepieces. People have measured the sun, the moon, the stars for years, but I've also had periods of my life where I never even used a clock, or I've gone camping and not had any kind of timepiece. It's like, oh, the sun's up, or I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to go whether do this now. Whether the
sun's
up
or it's sun's down, doesn't down, fucking matter.
Or it's like, okay, I need to do X whatever. You know, it's like, all right, I need daylight hours for that. Or if I'm going to do something at night, I can get a candle or whatever. You know, there's that concept. But it's like, do humans have to have time? You know, we have our clocks, you got work, you got everything. But at the same token, why is it that some hours move faster than others? You know, if you think about it for a second, there's sometimes that clock, you can look at it and it might feel like 10 hours to go 10 minutes. But there's other times that you can have a 10-hour day and you get done and you're like, where'd it go? You know, so that takes me to, it's like, okay, there's time's a construct. Mentally, our brains go forwards, backwards, speed up, maybe speed up and slow down is a better way to say it. So clocks have been around for a hell of a time. People wanted to tell time. But do we really need time? I mean, if you want a business run efficiently, true. But I'm saying as humans, is it just a construct of us trying to organize things?
I think it kind of goes back to like work. Pretty much that's probably why they started time, so they could start work at a certain time. It's not like come to work when the sun's up.
Railroads or...
No.
Well, go all the way back to sundials. Why did they want sundials?
They wanted to be able to measure things. That's what humans love to do. We like to measure things, organize things, put things in categories. It's just to make more sense of the world to us, even though we might not understand it. We think we understand it more or less.
Yeah.
It's not that we need it. It's that we kind of want it. Subconsciously, I think it's something that humans just want to know more than we know.
To put it in our little box to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But then that goes back to, you know, it's like 15 minutes isn't just 15 minutes. Yeah, you know, hey, here's one of the triggers that got me thinking some more on this. I got to see my life flash before my eyes. What was it, Monday? I think it was Monday.
Oh, Jesus.
Driving down the road, and I look up, and there's a semi headed directly at me to head on. And what caught it out of the peripheral is when he hit the mud at the bottom of the ditch in between the highways. Luckily, he did one of those, and it was like, there he is. He saved it at the last moment, caught the ditch. And out of my mirror, I'm looking at him. He drove down into the center, had enough momentum to drive back on and got onto the highway. You know, that man had to change his pants. He just had to. But for that one split second, it wasn't like, oh, I got scared type thing. I didn't have time to, you know.
Time stood still.
Yeah, time stopped. I saw that truck. If he hadn't corrected it, or say he died, it wasn't like the truck naturally. He got it back under control. But
you were stuck in flow state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For that few moments, and it's like I got done and I'm like, I'm not even scared. You know, that time it wasn't like a dog chasing me or something, or car rubbing or whatever. But that's a good point. I was stuck in that flow state for that amount of time. And then just kind of looking back and I'm like, there's a checkbox. But that's what got me thinking about the construct here.
It's like staring at a wall for 15 minutes. It's forever. You watch a YouTube video for 15 minutes. You're like, that was 15 minutes? How the hell? It's just kind of like your mind's preoccupied. If there's nothing for your mind to like latch itself to, it's forever. If you're, like you said, if you're busy, because you're constantly doing something, so you're not worried about anything else but doing the task, and time's just kind of ticking by. But if you're not having anything to occupy yourself, that's all you have is time. It seems like time stands still.
If we didn't have clocks, though, it would affect us the same.
How so? Like thinking about it?
Yeah, if we didn't have a way to track it in the first place, would we even notice? Think about it when you're out camping and you don't have any responsibilities or anything. Like, you don't have to be at such and such place. Are you still always checking your watch, or do you get to the point where you throw your phone away, don't wear a watch, and you're not paying, you know, the time or anything?
Yeah. I mean, is time still kind of seems like it goes fast then?
It does.
You're not looking at it constantly being reminded how long like time's passed. Cause it's kind of like one of those things, like you're enjoying the moment.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying the moment, it's kind of like being preoccupied. You're enjoying the moment. You're just living. And then time passes by and your sense it just passes how it should. But if you're constantly checking the time, it's like there's a reason for it. And you want it to be a certain time, and you want it to be that time so bad that time feels like it's not fucking moving.
Yeah.
That's like a watch pot never boils.
Boils.
Kind of idea. So I think there's a lot to that. But yeah, when you're engaged in something, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be fun per se, but you're just focused on that whatever activity it is. Yeah, time flies, and then next thing you know, oh shit, we're done? Wait, what?
Yeah. It's like our conversations on the podcast. It's like,
yeah.
Oh,
it's over.
We've already talked this long. Yeah, it's just one of those that have been, and I wonder part of that. And funny enough, I had a conversation with my kid about that the other day. It's like, you know, that 80-year-old man driving 45 and the 55 probably has a pocket watch still and doesn't look at it except maybe once a day or something. He doesn't care about the time around him. You know, those guys drive me batty, but at the same time, I'm not that far away from it. But at the same token, if you're my kid, you're looking at an 80-year-old guy going, get the hell out of my way. You know, it's
I got life to live, dude. Come on.
It's all that perspective, what, you know, 10, 20, 50 years will do. It's like, I mean, Slim Jim's at 50. I'm knocking on 50 here, you know, coming quickly. And it's
same.
Like,
same.
Yes.
Bullshit.
You're not even seeing the door yet. Damn. But now, the big joke when I was younger was, Lordy, Lordy, look who's 40. You know, 40, once you hit 40, you're over the hill. I think 50 is more over the hill now. And I'm coming up on it. I have 50 as the halfway mark. 50 is between here and 100. People are living to 100. I think that's more of a halfway point than 40.
Yeah.
I never care. You're over the hill at 40. Nah. 40s, it's like most guys in their 40s are hitting their prime. If you feel like you're over the hill in 40s, go get a trainer, hit the gym, start eating right, stop drinking beer, and get yourself back in shape, you know. You feel like you're going to die.
Enjoy your beer in moderation. Come on. Don't be a psychopath.
Wait till you're 40, CJ.
What do you mean?
Your beer moderation is going to have to go like moderate way higher. Because, yeah, trust us. 30s, I was doing fine. It didn't really hit me until the 40s.
I drink expensive enough beer that I can't really drink a beer like that, because then it would be expensive, really expensive.
Yeah, in a hurry.
I was going to say, you could get a 30 rack for how much I pay for four beers now. So,
I get that.
That'll slow you down.
Yeah, that's exactly why I do it.
Fair enough.
Strategy.
There, that it is. Getting some wisdom.
Hell yeah.
If it's too expensive for me to drink a lot of it, I'll enjoy the little bit I do get.
And then I'll finish mine and then drink my fiance's. Yeah. There we go.
Oh, hell. All right. I was looking through questions, and this one looks like fun. Do you think there are more doors or wheels in the world?
Jesus. There's got to be more wheels.
Yeah, this one's submitted by my girls. So officially came from my oldest, and something they were thinking of questions, I think, at school. But my youngest was in on the conversation when it was brought up. So I'm going to say it's from both of them. But it's just an interesting.
There are more doors or wheels in the world.
So what'd you say, CJ? You
think I got to go with the wheels. Like 100% wheels. Okay. No, wait. Hold up. Are these like, could tire be a wheel?
I see. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking anything round on a thing that goes.
Well, think about like rollerblades have 6 wheels per blade. So. Because
there was no qualifiers. The question is, the question is as in.
That's 12 wheels.
Has lots of rollers and stuff on. But then look
at how many doors are in there.
But think of your doors, not just your front door, back door, inside doors. You got cupboard doors. You got all the doors in the different parts, the compartments, doors to this. Man. See, okay. Put it this way.
It is a cupboard door. Right.
I know it says in the world, in the United States, I would say there's more wheels than doors. If we look at the entire world, I'm going to go more doors than wheels. Because not all countries are so automotive and industrial as we are. So,
See, I was originally going that route. That's what I was thinking. There's got to be more, whether it's businesses or dwellings of one kind or another that has a door around the world. But CJ brings up a good point. Like, there's wheels. Like, it's just doors and wheels. It doesn't qualify what's a wheel and what's a door.
See, so if we're not counting like rollers, I'm thinking like conveyor belts, elevators, stuff like
that. Those are wheels.
But I'm thinking more like a roller could be a wheel, but I'm thinking more wheel. Even on a rollerblade or a skateboard,
I would go with the rollerblade. I would say rollerblade.
But if it's a roller, like it's a foot long. A conveyor
belt or a roller on an elevator.
So you're telling me that's not a wheel?
Maybe that's, I guess that's what I'm saying.
It's like, okay. Like,
but I know what you're saying. It's still a wheel. It's round.
Without the tire, it's still a wheel. And that's pretty much.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
But I mean, then you're talking gears.
Because then there's steamrollers.
Yeah.
Steering wheel.
There's a steering wheel.
Wheel of. Wheel
now, fortune. Okay.
Wheel of fortune.
If you that adds a lot right by itself.
If it wasn't just doors, if it was doorways, there's definitely more doorways than wheels.
Yeah. That's the way we break. That's the way we get closer to the answer we want it to be. But I think CJ's right.
I think he is. I have to admit it. If we go with. There's more wheels in the world than doors, but there are more doorways than wheels.
I was going to say,
if you think bicycles, tricycles, you think, and I mean, when I say tricycle in the Philippines, there's sort of like a taxi, but it's like basically a motorcycle with a sidecar. And
well, think of all the little trikes and stuff. All the kids ride on plastic car. There's a lot of wheel. Yeah. If we're just talking car wheels, then I would go with Doors.
Or Vehicle Wheels, yeah.
Yeah, Vehicle Wheels, then I'm going with, I think I'll go with Doors. But if we're going with Just, tell them there needs to be more clarification on what kind of doors and what kind of wheels.
Yes.
It's got to be a Michelin.
I tell my girls.
Well, those are actually tires, not wheels.
Oh, yeah. Tires go on wheels. So is, wait, is a tire a wheel?
Could no. Could it be
a wheel? Technically, a tire is a tire.
Yeah.
But it goes on a wheel. So it's not part of the.
No, I usually consider the wheel.
Well, we're saying wheels so much, it's losing sense to me.
Yeah, the more we talk about it, the worse it gets.
Like, because it's like a steering wheel. It doesn't have a tire, but it's a wheel.
But a wheel.
Wheel. But is a roller a wheel?
God, we're getting...
Now we're getting convoluted with the whole fucking thing.
I know, but it's like, what are you going to describe as
what's Ferris a wheel?
A Ferris wheel. Good point.
Really, but every single one of those things has a door that you go through.
Yeah.
Every little pod or whatever it's called, you got to go through the door.
Door, yeah.
One Ferris wheel with what? 12 doors on it.
Well, really, those are gates, though. Is a gated door?
It's practically a door. You got to open it to go through it.
You know, yeah. That's a rough, that's like,
wow.
Yeah,
this is a deep question.
It is.
You're so simple.
You know, those are the best ones.
Good thing we're not high question. Or stoned or drunk or drunk.
How long do you want this podcast to be?
A week and a half later, we're diving into it.
I know what I'm bringing up at my buddy's birthday party this weekend. It's going to be like 2 hours of people yelling at each other about wheels and doors.
Yep. Yep.
Well, see, but this is
well, perfect. And then there.
Oh, hold on. And this is why you got a degree in philosophy is for this question right here. If this doesn't describe philosophy,
my whole collegiate experience has brought me to this.
Come down to this.
Well, while you were talking,
you thought you had big discussions in college. No,
no, no. This is
it. Really comes down to: is there more wheels or doors?
Well, I was thinking, even on the garage door, right on the track, there are wheels to move the door.
Door.
So that's just what like I'm we saying. Were talking about a Ferris wheel with doors, there's doors with wheels. Holy cow.
But
I'm going to have to bring this stuff up with my girls.
You're going to start writing everything down.
Just so it's like,
okay, is a bearing a wheel? Ooh, or is it a bearing? It's a round and it spins.
You can use it as a wheel.
And if you look at rollerblades, that's what a rollerblade is. It's a bearing rubber.
It's a wheel. Or it's a round disc, whatever you want to call it, with bearings in the middle to spin it around. Yeah.
I mean, really, it comes down to the definition of wheel, and it's really a round object that rolls. So
a tire works then.
Tire's a tire. But he's a mechanic.
You can get inside a tire and go down the hill with it.
But that's not a wheel unless you're attached to something.
I mean, you're attached to it. You're getting somewhere, right?
Well, unicycle.
Yeah, but it has kind a rim idea. And a tire.
Yeah, no, yeah. Fuck. God, even sober, we could be here for an hour and a half.
Okay, now I got to look up the definition of what wheel is. Let's go to a good old Wikipedia.
Jesus Christ.
For those of you here's listening.
Webster. No, I found Webster. Okay. A circular frame of hard material that might be solid, partly solid, or spoked, and that is capable of turning on an axle. Hence, it's not a tire. It's a wheel. But the rollers, steering wheel, and it has to be attached to an axle. So your idea of rolling down the hill in a tire. Have either of you guys done that?
I've seen I haven't.
It sucks.
It sounds like a fantastic idea to roll down a hill in a tractor tire until you do it.
Exactly. CJ's still young enough he could get away with it, but
I watched on Jackass and that was enough for me.
if you want it, I don't think it's been a couple of different tires, and it might be the kind of hill you go down, but if you want the same effect, take a wiffle bat, have a buddy take a wiffle bat and
just beat you with it.
No, arch over. Oh. You got to arch over and then beat you with it.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
See, they're saying an apparatus, it has to have an axle. I think it has to be on something. This is funny. Chiefly medieval instrument of torture designed for mutilating a victim as stretching or disjointing. They're talking about a rack.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of over a wheel.
Yep. Bicycle wheel, any of many revolving discs or drum used as a gambling paraphernalia. Jesus. Potter's wheel, like steering wheel. CJ got that
wheel.
One.
Wheel. How many casinos are there in the world?
Oh.
Well, there's a lot of doors at casinos, too.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hotels.
See?
Yeah.
Mm. Hotels.
Jeez.
Hotels, apartments.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. That's where I'm going. If you just do the states, I'm going more wheels than
doors. even if you think Chicago, New York City,
yeah.
Right, how many apartments, hotels, office buildings, all doors? Then they also have elevators,
cupboards. That
probably have wheels.
Yeah, but then you have like all your cupboards that all have doors.
Closet doors. Garage doors.
Yeah.
Like I said, we can keep going on for fucking ever.
You got
until the next podcast talking about this one. And we're stone cold sober. I mean, in theory, I am. I can't speak for the two of you, but
sober.
Oh, did you know where this question came from? I just Googled it. Internet is arguing over whether there are more doors or wheels in the world. And this article is from March 16th. So this is recent. The girls kind of heard this someplace. So, hey, look, we're staying up with the times. How much
March 16th? They gave this to me last week, a week ago.
We're ahead of the times.
We're ahead of the times.
The future.
Somebody's talking about this all over. Someone did a thing on Twitter, and right now it's 53% of people think it's wheels, 46 doors. That was on March 5th. There you go, last week. So they've been talking about this for a while.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's where it came up. But.
And this guy says it believes that the debate is so enduring because there is no data proving that either side is right. Yeah. And we just talked about it for like 20 minutes or so. I guess this is an internet question, but I think it comes down to your description. Now, what if let's define it a little. If you're talking only wheels on cars.
Oh, yeah. The doors always by a million.
Doors win. What if you're talking like wheels on any mode of transportation?
My chair's got six of them.
Yeah, but it's not really transportation. I'm talking, but transportation.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to
get from point A to point B.
Narrow it down.
Narrow it down.
I can go down this hill with this fucking chair.
Only if I'm there to video it.
And an air in one hand and an air blower in the other.
Damn straight.
And motor your way to Casey's to get some pizza.
Bet.
Next time we're together. I'm bringing the leaf blower, the big ass one. We're gonna tie CJ to the chair. Jimmy, you can video it. I'll start it up, and we're gonna video him going down the road.
That'd be so badass.
Yes.
It's the BR version of Jackass.
I'm totally down for this. That sounds amazing.
Jackass BR edition.
Oh. That should be our closing subject. The latest Jackass coming out. I'm looking forward to it.
Are you actually going to go see it in theaters?
You know, I'm tempted to actually go to the theater and watch this because of the nostalgic. They got me on nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Just,
yeah.
I'm like, these guys and some are really good antics go.
And some of the just I don't funny.
Know, the ball slapper thing on their little commercial. I know I'll be in tears watching that. Those guys.
It's like you can't not look at it.
And I've done a lot of Jackass type stuff, but they all think it's like, oh, hey, I did this. Yeah. But we did this.
You know, oh. They literally have the one up on everybody.
Yeah. There's, hands if you're down. Part of that crew, there's no, oh, I jumped a bicycle off a ramp into a lake. Yeah, well, we slingshotted somebody off of a trike with a unicorn hat on. You know, it's like...
You had a midget bungee cord into a fat guy. That was... Honestly, that was the one that about broke me. When they threw Wee Man off the bridge and they had Preston holding him. And he slingshotted Wee Man.
You know, it's a, those guys have checked so many boxes. You know, I'd be afraid to, like, you couldn't fall asleep around that crew.
Oh, fuck.
You can't walk into a shitter around that crew.
Can't get a coffee.
Yeah, there's at any given moment, you're going to probably be in pain, agony, or puking from something. Yeah. You got, I remember the one that was just so painful that they were taking hair clippers and taking chunks of hair.
Oh.
And on one of them, they got the clipper stuck and he ripped the hair out. You know, it's how do you? No, I. Yeah.
The one guy practically had no hair left after the day.
Oh. So. I mean, they've been making us laugh for years. I know a lot of them had their troubles and everything, but at the end of the day, they can still laugh at themselves. And it's like, holy crap. I don't.
I'm guessing the recovery, now that they're older, though, the recovery for those guys.
Hopefully, well, you know, a few of them got the money. To like be like, you know, they go out and do the stunt and then they go and get physio and they're sitting in hot tubs having a drink or something going, all right, guys, turn the cameras off. The old guys patches back together so we can go do more. But, you know, when you're drunk, high or whatever, something in your 20s or 30s and you're playing a ball slapper game, it's funny. Now you're talking, you're like you're in your 50s and 60s. And still doing it, you know how much pain it's going to be. It's almost that's just worst. You know, it's yeah. Give them another chance, and in like another decade, they do another comeback.
Oh God! When does it become like, please stop? Holy shit! Johnny Knoxville is 51.
There, that's what I'm saying. These guys, they're all Bam is 42.
Jesus.
Oh, Christ. How old is Steve-O? Steve-O is 47. So they're right in my and Jimmy G's age. You know, it's they're all right. And they're still going at it.
You think you guys could do this?
No, I wouldn't want to. Some of the stuff Wee Man's 48.
It sounds like a fantastic idea, but.
Wait, who'd you meet?
Wee Man.
No shit.
He was 4th of July in Springfield, Illinois. He was there. It was more of a signing shirts and stuff or whatever type thing. But yeah, so I should say saw him in person, you know, in one of those A things. He is swamped by people, but yeah, he was there.
Jesus. But
holy shit, Jackass has been around since 2000. Yeah. The TV show was first started in 2000. The first movie came out in 2002. The second one came out in 2006.
And that's not counting the stuff that they did before Jackass.
They actually get the TV show. Yeah, it's fucking nuts. The fact that they're doing another... When I heard that they're doing Jackass 4, I was kind of... Mostly, I was just like, why are they still doing this?
Why not? You know, you know, they're asking themselves that same question. Why are we doing this?
Why did we start doing this? It's probably what they're asking. Why did we make this a big thing? So we got to keep doing it in our 50s?
You know, but I think a lot of it is like, it's the nostalgic part. One night they're sitting around, a couple of them are talking, and they're like, I'm never going to do that again. And then it's like, you know what we could set up? And one of the other guys is like, well, I could be game. You want to do it? Yeah. Yeah. Let's. It came out of like a conversation, and then they just started calling everybody up, and then the entire crew is like, I don't not want to be a part of it. You know, it'd be like, people will want to know that, you know, it's like Steve-O going, no, I won't do this. And then he goes to some talk show or whatever, and it won't be about him. It'll be about, why didn't you go do Jackass? You know, no one wants to be left out.
Yeah.
So I can understand that part.
It's crazy.
I know. No, we don't think anybody should be out doing anything that Jackass does. Just watch the movie and laugh your ass off at them. We'll put that disclaimer in.
We don't condone it, but if you do it, send us video.
Yeah. Anonymously is fine. I'm sure we can figure out your name from the video.
Yeah, that'd be fun though.
You know, it'd be fun like on the ball slapper game if you're like Johnny Knoxville being the guy that gets to push the button. Then I'd be like, yeah, let's do this. I'm willing to sit up there. If you're the guy standing there getting ready to get slapped, no, I don't want to be that guy. No, thank you.
The anticipation has got to be terrible for that.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't imagine knowing that I'm going to get
that. I mean, that's probably the worst part of all of it is just like, you know, some things you may not know. There are some of those gags that they do that, you know, exactly. Like, you know what's happening or what's going to happen. You just don't know how it's going to go. And then there's some of those things that they do where you kind of don't know, because they can come at you a couple different ways depending on what they have set up, kind of thing. So just the anticipation of either of those is like, you make so much shit up in your own head. Like, you're dead before they do a thing to you.
Or it's on the opposite. Everyone's chilled, relaxed. You'd be like, oh, I gotta go take a shit. You step into the port-a-john, and the next thing you know, the thing blows up. You know, you're like, I can't even take a shit.
Oh my god. Did I ever tell you guys about the time that I locked one of my buddies up in a porter body?
No.
So we were on a job site. It was like a big job site in downtown Des Moines. And he went into the bathroom, and I put a bungee cord around the door. And they came around with the crane and started picking up the porter potty.
He was about 3 feet.
He was in there.
Well, no, they saw it was bungee, so they thought it was like ready to go. He gets up 3 feet in the air and he's like pushing on the door. He's like, "Hey, there's somebody in here." They bring him back down. I was just dying. I couldn't even tell the guy there was somebody in there because I was laughing so hard. I had no idea that was going to happen. Perfect.
Well, you know, sometimes that's what makes those things even better, right? It's like the unplanned serendipitous shit that happens as a result of shenanigans.
Well, on that note, did you know the Illinois State Police do not like it when you're messing with your buddy that's in the Port-a-John in the middle of the night at the fairgrounds? For some reason, if you're rocking it back and forth, they start walking over to you with a very stern expression. With I heard this, by the way. I only
heard by experience.
I only heard this.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I don't know how other state troopers are, but the ones in Illinois, they don't take kindly to that. Yeah.
You don't rock the shitter, pal.
No. But if your buddy has a blue ass, it makes it a hell of a lot funnier.
Oh, fuck. That's fantastic.
And that's how we're ending this week. So until next week, everybody enjoy, stay safe, all that good stuff. Don't let your life flash before your eyes. It's probably fucking boring. Make your life exciting, so it is.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarian rhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at SteelJanz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator.